Brother Fred will exhort us this morning. Brother Fred.
Good morning, brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's harvest time on the great Canadian prairies. The seeding was diligently done earlier on. The fertilizing and the weed spraying was diligently done in its appropriate time and place. The farmers have done all that they can to produce the various crops. The rains and sunshine have come. The crops have been growing. The good farmers are waiting and watching very closely and are preparing for the final phase, the harvest. The reaping. There must be vigilance, for the crops do not enter the bins and the elevators of their own accord. The farmer cannot be found at the lake fishing. Farmer can't be at the casino. The farmer can't afford to fail to have his machinery ready to roll. Cannot be lacking in energy and in determination in getting on with the reaping, with the harvest. Rather, in the time frame, the short time frame that he has available to him, the swathers, the combines, the grain trucks will roll, and the harvest, the reaping, will be accomplished. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, brethren and sisters, where we will find the theme for our word of exhortation this morning taken from the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 reads, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And on a previous occasion, we had a close look at the principle of a man reaps what he sows in verses 7 and 8. It's right there in the text. And this morning, we wish to consider the other major aspect of the whole principle of sowing and reaping, and that is the reaping part, only, of course, from a spiritual aspect. Let's just read Galatians 7 through 9. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul here has a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency as he pens these words to those in Galatia at that time and right down here into this room today. There is to be no weariness, no fainting, if we, you and I, wish to reap everlasting life. Why was this put into the text? You have to ask yourself that. Why was this put into the text? We'll find out as we move along. It's one of the qualifying verses of Scripture regarding salvation, brethren and sisters. One of the qualifying verses we find in Scripture regarding salvation. In this case, it's the little word if. We shall reap if we faint not. So we need to examine just what is it the Apostle Paul is exhorting us about. As we've said, there's a sense of urgency here. And rightly so. It's talking about the end times. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the end times. The things that have transpired over the last 2 months alone tell us the end is upon us. And so the divine text records for us, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Weary. The word means let us not fail. Let us not be weak. Let us not tire. Let us not be weary in doing well. And it continues, we shall reap if we faint not. What's this word fainting all about? If we faint not. The word has a number of aspects and meanings to it. It means to loose, to release, to give up. It means to unloose, to relax, to enfeeble, to relax vigilance, to lack courage, and as you heard in the version that was read this morning, to lose heart, fainting. In other words, in order to reap life eternal, the disciple of Christ must run the race to the end. He must remain vigilant, dedicated, steadfast, faithful, and courageous. And for us, that means in these times in which we are working out our salvation. We're going to look briefly at just three examples. Three examples will suffice. There are many more that teach us that there can be no fainting, no unloosing, no relaxing, no enfeebling, no relaxing vigilance if we want to be a part of that glorious kingdom age. And that is what we are all hoping for. It's part of the hope of Israel, is to be a part of that glorious and everlasting kingdom age. And so we certainly want to be aware of what's this business about possibly fainting along the way. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we have come to remember this morning by way of participation in this feast. Now, Luke 21 is a chapter that has received, and rightly so, a lot of attention over the years in the Brotherhood from a prophetical point of view. A lot of emphasis has gone into the explanations and the expositions of what this chapter is all about, and we're particularly familiar with verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, etc., even the parable of the fig tree. What has not been dealt with near as much in my time in the truth has been verses 34, 35, and 36. But they're there. They are part of the words of our Lord. They haven't been included by man or someone else. They're there. They're part of the text. And the message isn't complete until we complete the whole text. What does it read, brethren and sisters? And take heed to yourselves. That's us here this morning. Take heed to myself. Take heed to ourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Hearts overcharged. The word means to be burdened or overburdened. To be unable to function properly. That's what the word means. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Overcharged with surfeiting. The word signifies a drunken state, a nausea, a headache. And then he includes the word drunkenness, which simply means a habitual state of intoxication. Now, those are strong words. But they're used in the spiritual sense, and they're still strong words. Jesus uses these words to illustrate the spiritual state of being intoxicated, thus unable to be alert, unable to be aware, unable to be vigilant, and to fall asleep, to faint. So there's what he's issuing us words of exhortation to draw from and a warning. He moves on to include one more aspect in this warning. It's that little phrase, and the cares of this life. Well, why that? Why is that included in the text? Is that a bit superfluous? No, it is not. The cares of this life. Our hearts being overcharged, overburdened, extremely occupied with the living of life today in all of its aspects. And Jesus said, take heed to yourselves about all of these things, including the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. The cares of this life. The living of life on a day-to-day basis. I don't have to tell anyone in this room how busy things are. Oh, yes. It's a busy life. I have a little grandson, and when we're busy doing our things, he'll say, it's a busy day, isn't it? And I reflected upon that. There is the job or the business. Demands, demands, demands. And they increase and they get more. So we're occupied because we've got to pay attention to these things. There's the material acquisitions and possessions. We just don't stand still in these areas, brothers and sisters. We keep moving ahead for the most part. There are the living styles and standards. Oh, yes, the living styles and standards. 2006 standards. There's the many, many, many children's activities. Sign on the back of more than a few vehicles. Mom's taxi. Busy going here, going there. Got to get them to this. Got to get them to that. Busy, busy, busy. Life is really full. All of the aspects of life that leave a person seeking for some rest and relaxation along the way. Because he or she is tired. And the spiritual man can weaken under these circumstances, brethren and sisters. That's why it's included in God's word. The spiritual man can weaken if these things are taking us over. First Thessalonians chapter 5. As we leave this passage in Luke, Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And the word means to stand and to be found worthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This time the words of the Apostle Paul, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar with the passage. It's all about that when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. And we've gone over that and we look at it and we discuss it from the world aspect and what's happening out in the horizons of the world. But there's included in this something for us. Ye are the children of light in verse 5 and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now I ask you again, I challenge you, why does the next verse, why was it even bothered to be inserted in the text? Why is it there? Are we needing to fill up space and get the Bible a little thicker? Therefore, let us, we're not talking about them out there, let us not sleep, as do others. Let us watch and be sober. We see this word watchfulness and watching appearing in all of these texts. And we can only watch when we're alive and alert. Let us not sleep. Let us not faint. But let us watch and be sober. The word means free from anything that would impede the ability to be alert and to be about the business of walking as a faithful disciple. Be sober. Free from intoxication. It's interesting how both of these individuals, the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul, use that same concept. Free from that which just can smother us. Revelation chapter 16. Just one little verse. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Again, our Lord speaking to us. Behold, I come as a thief. That phrase is always there as well. And we've gone over that backwards and forwards. Simply means to come unannounced, quickly, suddenly. Blessed. Blessed is he that watcheth. Same word again. One who is watching, who is aware. And in this case, blessed is he that keepeth his garments. Keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Do we see the theme is there in just those three passages? There can be no fainting if we're going to be watching. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his spiritual garments. They just don't remain their purity by doing nothing, brethren and sisters. They were given to us at our baptism, and there is a work to be done to keep our spiritual garments. By keeping our spiritual garments, the word means to preserve, to guard, to attend to. And so we're aware, brethren and sisters, of the urgency of the times, just from those three passages. There can be other forms of fainting, and we're sensitive to them and we're aware of them. They come from the trials, the difficulties, the testings, the health issues, family issues, ecclesial trials, the aging in years, and yes, there can even be the long period of waiting for our Lord's return. And there are those in this room who have been on the journey for a long time. And so fainting can possibly begin to set in. How do we cope with these things? How do we deal with them? What do we need to be on guard about? Time only allows for just three brief observations. The first one being, we, brethren and sisters, we make the decisions as to all of the things, and I'm going to use the word stuff, that is in our lives. We make those decisions. There's no one forcing us to follow that pursuit or to get that or to do that. We make those decisions. We are responsible for what's in our lives. We can blame no one else. There are certain exceptions, of course. The sudden death of a loved family member, as we heard a few weeks ago back in Ontario, in the Peeler family. Now, those are exceptions that can suddenly come in and cause us to endure affliction and trials. But that's not the norm. So brothers and sisters, we make the decisions as to all of this stuff that surrounds us. And I'm going to suggest that we need to be about the business of decluttering our lives. Decluttering our lives. And attempting to move towards a simpler lifestyle as Jesus did. You know, we talk about we are to follow Jesus. Does that just mean, well, I got to know all the commandments and what he taught and what he preached? We're asked to follow Jesus. And I firmly believe that means in all aspects. Now, we're not standing here suggesting that we all sell our homes and have no place to lay our head. We're not suggesting that. But we are suggesting that there is a simplicity in our Lord's life that we could do more to strive towards. Cutting back, downsizing, and getting rid of this stuff around us that can cause us to lose our focus and our attention as to what we're really here and all about. The Apostle Paul declared, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And he went on to say in another passage, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so he was able to focus constantly on his mission, his service in the truth to his Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask a question as we move to the second point. Brothers and sisters, in any way, shape, or form, are we involved in escapism? Escapism. Escapism, by way of dictionary definition, the avoidance of realities by recourse or indulging in entertaining and other activities. Escapism. Avoiding reality, avoiding truth. The disciple of Christ can have no part in escapism. But it's big out there in the world, all of the aspects of escapism, in order to help to avoid truth, avoid reality. We can't be watching. We can't be prepared if we're indulging in just don't want to hear about it. I mean, we've all heard the statement, I don't take the paper because it's so full of woe and doom and all the rest of it. I don't watch the news because it's bad news all the time. That's escapism. That's one example of escapism. Doesn't mean that we have to spend 5 hours a night watching the news either. But to indulge in any type of escapism, avoiding reality, to be in some form of denial when it comes to the conditions around us, is to faint in a major way. And so I leave it to each one of us here this morning to examine our own lives. Never mind about anyone else. Examine our own lives as to whether or not I am involved in escapism in any way. The endless hours of watching TV videos. That's a form of escapism. Takes your mind away from what's really going on. And you're watching this stuff that comes out of Hollywood. Do we spend much time in that area? Game playing on computers. Just the game playing, let alone surfing the net or whatever. Get your mind off the realities of life and the job and everything else, and you're busy there punching your keyboard or wiggling your levers or whatever. Escapism. Excessive shopping at malls. You might wonder, oh, just a minute. There's all kinds of people in my lifetime have told me, yep, when we get depressed or we're down, we head to Vancouver and we hit the malls. Uh-huh. Escapism. And a big bill on the credit card on the way home. Glossy magazines. Oh, there's hundreds of them in the racks, and they're all positioned so strategically. As you go through the checkout, oh, I'll just grab Cosmopolitan, or I'll grab Women's World, or I'll grab Popular Mechanics, or whatever. What for, brothers and sisters? Are they helping us on our journey Zionwards? There's lots of material within the Brotherhood to read to strengthen and sustain us. We don't need those glossy magazines. That's escapism. We mentioned just a few moments ago the fainting that can arise when we're faced with the health issues and the family disturbances. And they're there. They're real. The job stress, the losing of a loved spouse, as we've alluded to, the senior years. The third point we want to just emphasize this morning is that we are not left alone to cope with these aspects of life that can bring on and induce the fainting. If we know where to turn, instead of seeking something out there to help us when we're beginning to feel a fainting coming on, if we're even aware the fainting is coming on, We're not left alone to cope in these last times. The warnings that Jesus gave, he also had answers. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Move through these fairly quickly. And Jesus spake a parable in verse 1 unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Our Lord was aware of the easiness of human nature to slip into fainting. There it is, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He was aware of what could happen. We'll see in a few moments what he said in the garden. So, prayer. Lots has been said about prayer over the years, but we need to just remind ourselves, is my prayer life doing for me what it can do? Is it? Or are the pressures of life causing us with that quick little goodnight prayer? Just kind of routine. Or have we got the time to find a secluded place and to literally pray, to present before our Lord our needs and to ask for divine intervention and help? Brothers and sisters, in this busyness, the cares of this life, that's an area that can suffer our prayer life. So we need to take the steps to ensure that it's up and running in our life. The next one pertains to the reading of God's Word, and I would just like to refer to that this way. I had a calendar produced by Christadelphians many years ago. 7 days without God's Word makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. 7 days without God's Word makes 1 week. It's absolutely true. We sustain ourselves regularly, our natural and mortal bodies, with all of the meals and the snacks in between and the coffee breaks. They're well looked after. What about the spiritual man? Again, it's a battle that's fought in Christadelphia. Time to fit the readings in. And I'm alluding to meaningful reading of God's Word. Not just a zzz, oh, I got it done. Tick mark. Time to discuss and to try and gain one or two points out of the readings. So how's it going in our lives, the daily Bible readings? Slips, doesn't it? Unless you're absolutely exceptional, it slips. The warning is, don't let it slip very far. There'll be occasions when the readings don't get done. We're not talking about that. God and Christ aren't looking for a 365-point checklist. But they are looking for the oil of God's Word entering into our lamp vessel minds so that we can be sustained and fortified. So the daily Bible readings, brothers and sisters, are absolutely a must to help us to avoid being overcome, fainting. Next one we want to look at is found in Romans chapter 8, going in at verse 16. This theme has been dealt with before. It's the aspect of suffering before glory or the cross before the crown. But there's an issue here that we need to again come to grips with. It's the opposite of escapism. Let's read it together. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's wonderful. That's good. We're the children of God. Is that it? Have we got it made? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Well, that's just awesome. We've got this wonderful position, this high and holy calling. And joint heirs with Christ. Is it automatic? Is it good? Does it go all the way? Read the divine text. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If, another one of those qualifying passages of Scripture. So, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, if we are engaged in them, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brothers and sisters, we've got to enter into the yoke, the service, and all that that brings. No escapism, no turning away from it, but dealing with it and doing it. There it is, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Life in the truth is going to bring its trials and testings, hardships, challenges, but we've got to go through with it. And as we've already begun to see, we don't go through it alone. If we try to go through it alone, it'll be out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 on the same little sub-theme. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So there's another clue and a key. Being involved in the ministry, we faint not. But if you're off doing something else and avoiding the ministry, you've just got better things to do or feel we can't handle it, we need to be aware. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. If we're involved in these things that the Apostle Paul is addressing us about, the fainting isn't going to happen. There may be small amounts of fainting, but it won't overtake us to the point where we've lost control and we've released and we've become enfeebled. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Sure, the years will take a toll and we'll start to have things we never had happen in our bodies before and so on. Spiritual man doesn't have to go down that road. No. The spiritual man can remain strong and be renewed day by day, so there is no fainting. Back just over the page to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The beloved Apostle Paul, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There are the aspects that we need to be involved in. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that we've got no time to become involved in fainting. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It's a scene from the first century. Acts chapter 2 has a powerful message for us here in the 21st century. Verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, let's read it together. Then they that gladly received his word, there's a key right there, gladly received his word. They were busy taking it in and listening. They were digesting it. It was becoming a part of them. Gladly received his word, were baptized. Same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And now for the most marvelous revelation. Life in the truth. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Continued over and over and over and over and over and on and on and on. Steadfastly with zeal and determination. In four fundamental key factors that are absolutely essential if we wish to see the kingdom of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The teachings, the understanding of truth has to be in place. And so they continued steadfastly, following these things and upholding them, speaking them about them to others. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship. Being involved with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the ecclesia. Being committed and being involved, being there in the ecclesia, in fellowship. Aspect number two. They continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. Steadfastly. Frequently. Each and every time it was possible. In our instance, in our society, every week. Every week. Continuing steadfastly. Not, oh well, let's see, got some other things to do this morning. Brothers and sisters, these are recorded for our instruction. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. If we think we can go it on our own, being away from the ecclesia, and away from God, and away from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to faint. And finally, the fourth one, continued steadfastly in prayers. We've looked at this already. It's a fundamental necessity. This matter of our prayers, collectively and privately. Four fundamental aspects of life in the truth. Knock out any one of them and you've got a problem. You can't decide, well, I'll do one and three or two and four or drop this one or that one. They're there for a reason, all four of them. And that's what binds, that's what brings the cohesiveness. And any other types of answers to supply some other type of concept does not equate with scriptural teaching. Hebrews chapter 12, as we come to the emblems. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight. There it is. Let us lay aside every weight, the stuff in our lives that we don't need. Let us lay it aside. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with endurance, long-suffering, steadfastness, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, overcame in the hour of his temptation out there in the wilderness three times. It is written. He knew his scriptures. So that when the challenges and the temptations came, it is written. The same goes for us. I believe that a number of the things that we see in our midst, and yes, brothers and sisters, we've had some fainting in our midst in the past while. It's sad, but it's reality. There's no covering it over, playing it down. Those who are out of fellowship through their own actions and decisions, no longer here with us, they have fainted. Doesn't mean that there can't be a return. We didn't say that. But in the meantime, there has been a fainting, and we need to understand these things to prepare ourselves to be on guard. And Jesus said, it is written. That's how he overcame. He was fully in harmony with the will of his Father. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Not my will, but thine be done. Self-will is so powerful. I'm going to do it my way.
I don't want to be told and instructed about what should be done in our life and the truth. I'll just do it my way. So my will supersedes the will of God. How can this be? He went up into a mountain to pray. Ah, the life of our Lord in prayer. And what it did for him. Brothers and sisters, Luke chapter 22 and verse 40. As we come to the emblems. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. A little bit of fainting creeping in, a little bit of the self-will creeping in, but removed immediately. Not my will, but thine be done. And then that renowned little verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He wasn't left alone to cope with this tremendous burden that he was under. God saw to it that he had the help that he needed. That help is available to us. We're not asked to carry the burdens of life alone. And he had a vision of things to come. Ah, yes, the joy that was set before him. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business at the age of 12? And then throughout the remainder of his life, that vision that he understood of what he must be about in order to save dying mankind and to fulfill his Father's will and purpose. The table before us holds the emblems. Jesus was the first one to reap life eternal. Because there was the power to overcome, who did not faint in his life of service, we now have been given the blessed opportunity to remember, not just here for a few moments, while that is extremely fundamental and important. We have the opportunity to reflect upon he who did not faint, who overcame. And he's just asking that we do the same to the best of our ability. We can't achieve his standards, but we're asked and we're counseled to be not weary and to faint not. And if so, the wonderful and marvelous reward of life everlasting in God's coming kingdom.